Radio 860 WGUL.
The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Now, it's time for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here, we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week, we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Call in between 12:30 and 1 p.m. on Sundays and present your case to our experts. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now, our host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
The Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic is on, and we thank each and every one of you for listening once again. Today, we're tackling lymphoma with guest expert Dr. Eduardo Sotomayor of the Moffitt Cancer Center here in Tampa, Florida. But first, this radio show and the free annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium, now the largest in the country with 1,800 women and 5,000 hours of education in the one day, is supported by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive, dynamic, community-based healthcare safety net, making you an expert on your personal medical needs. The result? Better partnering with your existing doctor, leading to more effective office visits, faster results, and a reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. We save lives and protect families through the immediate impact of direct with the expert health education. And before we start today's show, I want to remind each and every one of you, for the last time this year, about our big fifth annual event this coming Saturday. That's March 27th, this Saturday at the Tampa Convention Center. It's absolutely free. We are covering 22 different seminars, each by leading experts, medical experts, who will speak plain English to help identify breakthroughs for your medical problems. We're not practicing medicine, but we can discuss, initiate ideas, and help you navigate through the healthcare maze. And the range of topics include osteoporosis, colon cancer, cervical, ovarian, and uterine cancer, migraines and headaches, skin cancer, menopause, cardiac disease, sleep disorders, breast cancer, fertility and family, reversing dry eye, nutrition and cancer prevention, diabetes, bladder incontinence, raising your child without going crazy, allergies and asthma, obesity in women, looking more youthful without general anesthesia, financial wellness, screening for breast cancer, heart care and disease prevention for women, and gynecological cancer, what you need to know. 22 seminars plus free fitness classes, including yoga, Pilates, kickboxing, Tai Chi, stretching, Zumba fitness, circuit training, and resistance training. And for those fitness classes, you can participate, you can observe. The idea is, for those of you wanting to get back into fitness, not knowing what's right, there are 8 different types to consider at Focus on Females. Those of you who already enjoy a particular fitness class, obviously jump in and have a good time. Plus, we have health screenings and chair massages. And again, it's all free this Saturday, March 27th at the Tampa Convention Center. Our keynote speaker is USF President Dr. Judy Genshaf. Our honorary chair is News Channel 8 anchor Stacy Scheibel. So again, we encourage each and every one of you to attend. Please register today. You can go to focusonfemales.com, our website, and on the homepage of the website is a registration tab. It takes literally 45 seconds to go ahead and complete that, and this way you'll have a chair in the seminars you want to enjoy and take advantage of. Okay. So today, first off, I'd like to welcome Dr. Sotomayor. Welcome. It's great to have you here, Eduardo.
Oh, good afternoon, Steve.
And so let's share with each and every one of our listeners about Dr. Sotomayor, who is professor of oncological services and chair of the Department of Malignant Hematology at the H. Lee Moffitt Cancer Center. He received his medical degree at Federico Villarreal National University School of Medicine in Lima, Peru, where he graduated magna cum laude. He completed internship and residency in internal medicine at the Jackson Memorial Medical Center and a postdoctoral research fellowship in immunology, also at the University of Miami School of Medicine. He completed a medical oncology fellowship training at the Johns Hopkins Oncology Center in 1998, becoming an instructor in oncology at Hopkins until his departure, arriving here at the Moffitt Cancer Center in the June of 1999. Dr. Sotomayor's primary interest areas of research are immunotherapy of B-cell malignancies. And again, we'll get into that and discuss what that means. But continuing on, he has special emphasis in the design of novel cancer vaccines and so-called monoclonal antibodies. And again, we can go into more detail during the show. Clinically, he has particular interest in what's called a mantle cell lymphoma, which is a type of lymphoma, and he has several ongoing phase 1 and phase 2 clinical trials for patients with this type of lymphoma. Dr. Sotomayor is a member of the Scientific Committee of the American Society of Hematology and has authored or co-authored more than 60 articles published in peer-reviewed journals such as Blood, Nature Medicine, Immunity, and I can go on and on. Dr. Sotomayor's research activities in B-cell lymphomas are fully funded by several grants from the National Institutes of Health and Lymphoma Research Foundation of America. He also serves on advisory boards in academic institutions and is a standing member of the Cancer Immunopathology and Immunotherapy Study Section at the National Institutes of Health. All right. Well, again, it's great to have you here, and it's a pleasure, and we're all looking forward to learning about lymphomas. What is lymphoma? Let's start there. Eduardo.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Thank you for your kind invitation. So lymphoma is a cancer that affects lymphoid organs. And let me explain to you about the lymphoid organs. So we have lymphoid organs are all over our body. And in these lymphoid organs, we have cells that are called lymphocytes. So they live there. And there are two main types of lymphocytes, B lymphocytes and T lymphocytes. So at some point, one of these cells become malignant. And that will arise what is called a lymphoma. So 80% of the lymphomas that we know are B cell lymphomas. So it's a large majority. 20% are T cell lymphomas. So T cell lymphomas are less frequent, are less studied, and probably as we're going to discuss later today, so there is an initiative at Moffitt Cancer Center to know better this type of malignancies.
Let me ask you, so the B-cell lymphoma is far and away four times more frequent than the T-cell lymphoma in epidemiologic studies.
That's correct.
And is the behavior of the lymphoma affected by whether it's a B-cell lymphoma or a T-lymphocyte lymphoma?
Yes. There is several parameters that will tell us how the disease will behave in a particular patient. So as a general rule, we usually consider the T-cell lymphomas a little bit more aggressive than the B-cell lymphoma. That's a general rule.
Okay.
But there are some T-cell lymphomas, and I want to make that clear, that the patients do not need to be treated right away. So what is extremely important for us is to have the right diagnosis, because as I mentioned to you before, there is approximately 50 different subtypes of lymphomas. And therefore, so before we can make any treatment decision on a particular patient, we need to be 100% sure about the diagnosis. So if it's a diagnosis of B-cell lymphoma, okay, what subtype of B-cell lymphoma? if it's a T-cell lymphoma, what subtype? Is this T-cell lymphoma just limited to the skin? Is a T-cell lymphoma that is involving important organs such as the liver? So if the T-cell lymphoma is only on the skin, so you can do local treatment, you can do local radiation. So it's different if the T-cell lymphoma is in the liver. It's an important organ, therefore the treatment needs to be more aggressive.
Now, these are excellent points. A couple of things I want to highlight. You mentioned that lymphoma is it's a malignancy of the lymphoid organs or lymphoid tissue. Mm-hmm. Now, for our listeners, that would include lymph nodes.
Correct.
Uh-huh. And the liver.
Mm-hmm. The bone marrow.
Bone marrow, okay. What other?
A spleen.
Spleen, mm-hmm.
No, the thymus is another organ.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And skin?
Yes. Yeah. So generally, what we consider lymphoma, so the main sites affected by, as you mentioned, by lymphoma are the lymph nodes, the spleen, the liver. But there are some type of lymphomas that can affect the brain. So we have what is called primary brain lymphoma. We have lymphoma in the skin. And so as you know, you being an ophthalmologist, there is a lymphoma that affects the eye.
Conjunctiva, and so on. So, but these are the areas that the lymphoma may arise.
Correct.
But then it can go anywhere.
Correct. Correct? That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And before the show, we were talking, and whereas in medicine, we frequently think of some of the great imitators or great masqueraders being, well, one thing, syphilis from the infectious perspective, lymphoma is a great masquerader as well. And I guess one needs to always consider that in the back of their minds if there's not a clear-cut diagnosis in the clinical setting of a patient.
So let me give you a couple of examples. So the classical presentation for lymphomas is that the patient will notice a lump or a bump, usually in the neck, in the groins, and it's painless. So it's a big difference between inflammation of the lymph node that is associated with an infection, because usually, so for example, you know, the most common situation is a person that has a sore throat and then a few days later notice an enlargement of a node in the neck, and it's painful. So lymphoma most of the time is painless.
Yeah, this is great stuff now. That's right, because I have people asking me all the time, I've got a little bump in my neck. Now, an enlarged lymph node in the neck after a sore throat, a viral pharyngitis, after that episode, that infection has resolved, that enlarged lymph node will remain, correct?
Usually remain for a few days, but then will disappear.
Should disappear completely.
That's correct.
But I mean, how about the case where it's enlarged, it's painful during the episode, the sore throat goes away, the cold goes away, the lymph node's still there, maybe shrink a little bit, but still there and no longer is painful, say 6 months later. Is that a cause of concern for a patient?
It will be, at least will need to be, that person needs to go to see his primary care physician who will examine the patient and then make a decision whether needs to be referred to a surgeon to remove that lymph node. But the general rule is after an infection, I would say up to 80-90% that lymph node should completely disappear, because this is a normal response of the body. So is that, mm-hmm. you know, at the beginning of this conversation, I said that lymphocytes live in the lymph nodes, and they are there to fight an infection. So there is an infection, these cells will divide. They create many of these soldiers. They will fight the infection. After the infection is gone, so these soldiers need to go to rest. So that's the normal response. In lymphoma, it's different. So in lymphoma, one of these, let's call lymphocytes or soldier, become abnormal, become malignant, and it starts to divide and produce more and more and more cells. And this can take, for some type of lymphoma, can take months or even years. For others, type of lymphoma can take a few days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and come back with more on lymphoma. We encourage you to call in with your questions. That's 289-1860, 289-1860, and our toll-free number for those out of town and are streaming live is 877-969-8600. Call right now with your questions on lymphoma for Dr. Eduardo Sotomayor. Be right back.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments.
Hi, this is Hugh Hewitt. It never fails. When you shine a light on Washington, D.C., the rats scamper. And that's what HotAir.com is doing every single day. HotAir.com watches the politicians and the lobbyists 24-7, exposing the hypocrisy and the double talk. From the president's bogus health care summit and Robert Kim's podium propaganda to Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, I count on HotAir.com to keep the liberals on their toes. You can, too. Log on to the number one conservative blog online, HotAir.com. That's HotAir.com.
This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you.
Do your eyes have a foreign body sensation or are scratchy and sandy? Do they burn, sting, or itch, or are heavy and tired? Maybe your eyes are sensitive to light or your eyelids achy and sore. Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but you'll have to live with this and nothing can be done for you? Well, first, it's likely you suffer from dry eye. And second, don't stand for those answers anymore. Just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems, go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you will be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with a doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain, fluctuating vision, and redness, plus begin targeted therapy right away. Haven't you waited long enough?
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. I'm Dr. Maskin, Steve Maskin, and with me today is Dr. Eduardo Sotomayor from the Moffitt Cancer Center, the topic, lymphoma. And we've discussed a little bit about what lymphoma is and the organs and tissues of origin, and that lymphoma can then involve, well, let me ask you this. I started to say one thing, but I want to be sure. Once the lymphoma arises, say, in the liver, then does it so-called metastasize elsewhere, or is it, can it have a second center of origin?
So usually, lymphomas, very few lymphomas arise in the liver, very few. So there is a specific type of T-cell lymphoma, we're talking about T-cell lymphoma, that is called T-cell lymphoma that affects the liver and the spleen. Very aggressive type of lymphoma, usually in young patients. Most of the time, so the lymphoma will start in the lymph nodes or in the bone marrow. So in the bone marrow is where all the cells that we have in the blood are produced. And then from then, they can metastasize to
anywhere they want.
That's correct.
Essentially. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's usually a primary origin of the lymphoma.
So the other example, for example, is the primary lymphoma of the brain.
Okay.
So it starts on the brain. And so although it's just localized on the brain, usually these patients are treated with a very aggressive, chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other patients that have lymphoma that start in the bone marrow, in the lymph nodes. So they fail treatment because just, not everybody will unfortunately be cured, although we are trying to make, develop new treatments to try to cure more, significantly more number of patients with lymphomas. But these patients that don't respond to treatment or the disease came back, So there are some type of lymphomas in which the lymphoma can go to the brain too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. On the line is Linda. Linda is a patient with lymphoma, a patient of Dr. Sotomayor's. Linda, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for being with us today. Can you share with us, number one, let's start with your age and presently, and when this situation with lymphoma began?
Okay, well, I'm 62 years old today.
Okay. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. This was a couple of years ago, so I'm trying to think. I think I was like 59 years old.
Okay.
And I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in my left eye tear duct.
Now, when it was first diagnosed, when you were 59?
Yes.
Okay. And prior to that, how was your health?
Perfect. I've never had any illnesses, never been in the hospital, no operations. So this was a shock to me when I was diagnosed.
Any history of extensive viral disease, infectious mononucleosis?
No.
Okay. And all right, so 3 years ago, tell our listeners the symptoms, how this started.
Okay. Well, first of all, I have to say that I worked at the Space Center, Kennedy Space Center.
Okay.
I'm on the East Coast, and I was in contact with a lot of chemicals. And what happened is, I believe that what happened is I may have gotten some kind of a chemical in my left eye tear duct, because immediately, within the next couple of weeks after I was in contact, I started having some area in my left eye tear duct. I thought in the beginning it was a sty, but I went to an eye doctor, and he did a biopsy and told me that it was non-Hodgkin's lymphoma tumor.
All right, let's back up a little bit. So you got received a chemical in the left eye, like a splash? Was it on your fingertip and you itched your eye and transferred it that way?
Yes, that's exactly how it happened.
Right. Did it cause your eye to get red or teary?
A little teary in the beginning, not red, but immediately a tumor appeared in the left-hand corner of my tear duct, and
right.
I could feel it. You know, I thought it was a sty.
All right, I got teary, and there's a little mass developed. How long did it take to develop that mass? It was in the inner corner of your left eye, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how long did it take?
Well, from the time that I feel like I may have gotten something in my eye, it was about, that happened in July.
Okay.
The first part of July of 06, and by August 3rd, I was diagnosed. So it took about a month.
All right. And so this, now, Eduardo, what's your sense of the time span? How fast does a typical lymphoma or mass from a lymphoma develop? How quickly on the surface, with a, you know, on the conjunctival surface, for example?
So again, it depends on the type of lymphoma. Mm-hmm. If it's a indolent low-grade lymphoma, it can take months or years. In the specific case of Linda, she was diagnosed what is called a large cell lymphoma. That is an aggressive type of lymphoma that can develop in weeks or months. So there is another type of lymphoma. It's called Burkitt's lymphoma. This is the most aggressive type of lymphoma, in which the tumor can double its size in 24 hours.
Wow.
So it's a variety of pattern of growth of the lymphomas. So the story that Linda is mentioning is that she noticed these changes in a matter of weeks and months, 3 months, July to October, goes along with the diagnosis of an aggressive large cell lymphoma.
Mm-hmm. And that's quite remarkable. And now you had noticed any mass there before or previously,
no.
and you had not had any problems tearing. This large cell lymphoma, Eduardo, is that a T cell lymphoma?
No, this is a B cell, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
This is a B cell, mm-hmm. Okay. And are there known causes of this particular type of lymphoma?
So for this particular type of lymphoma, we are recently linking this lymphoma with some viral diseases, especially with Epstein-Barr viruses. So in the new classification of lymphomas, so there is, for example, a large cell lymphoma of the elderly that is associated with EBV, Epstein-Barr viruses. So that's what we know. So there is association between lymphomas and radiation, for example. So patients that receive radiation or were exposed to radiation in Hiroshima, Nagasaki, or in Russia, they have a high tendency to develop lymphomas. Mm-hmm. There is also association between lymphomas and some chemical, pesticides and chemicals that we don't know well, but there is link association between those. Mm-hmm. Exposure to those chemicals and lymphomas.
And this, in particular, this large cell lymphoma associated with the virus.
Well, that's what we are learning. There are other type of lymphomas in which we have a very strong association between viruses and lymphomas. For example, there is association between hepatitis C and another type of lymphoma called marginal zone lymphoma. Mm-hmm. There is association between Burkitt's lymphoma and Epstein-Barr virus lymphoma.
Also, what's interesting, two of the lymphomas you mentioned, the Burkitt's and large cell, which are both very aggressive, you also mentioned are both associated with the same Epstein-Barr virus.
Yes, a subpopulation of large cell lymphoma. We know, we are learning about large cell lymphoma that is associated with EBV. So in Burkitt's, yes, there is a clear association. But in large cell lymphoma, so large cell lymphoma, by the way, is the most common type of B-cell non-Hodgkin lymphoma, around 35-36%. Mm-hmm. So it's the most common. This is the type of lymphoma that we see commonly. Mm-hmm. But usually that's presenting in different organs. For us, it was interesting in the case of Linda that he presented in that tear duct. I mean, it was very unusual
presentation, And it's interesting because, of course, in the tear duct, the nasal aspect of the ocular surface, the inner corner of the eye, that's where all the tears go to be drained into the nose. So any kind of exposure, whether it be virus, viral DNA, chemicals will be concentrated in that inner corner, which I don't know if that means anything, but to say that that's just an observation. That's where things concentrate on the ocular surface. So if indeed, then do you feel though that then the virus is the reason? And I guess I'm asking you to speculate. Is the virus the reason why these particular lymphomas may be aggressive? Is there an override or a modulatory effect on the replication of these lymphomas, which could be by the virus itself?
Right. I think that first of all, I mean, the association between viruses and some type of lymphoma, it is better and better established now. As we were, talking before this interview, I just came back from Peru, and Peru has the third highest incidence of T-cell lymphoma in the world after Japan and Korea. And so what we are seeing, and we are joining efforts to do studies of this type of lymphoma, what we are seeing is they have patients with T-cell lymphomas, patients with Hodgkin disease, in which they see the presence of the viruses. And in these patients, the disease is behaving more aggressively. And it's not because they lack the diagnostic skills. It's not because they don't have the treatment. They have the same treatment that we can offer to the patients here in the United States. So there is something else that makes the lymphoma that they are seeing that is associated with viruses to be more aggressive. Could that be associated with the immune status of the patients in Peru? Could be associated with the nutritional status? Of, we don't know. As a part of this consortium that we are creating with Peru, we are going to be analyzing the biopsies that they did in their patients and look at the genetic profile. So what genes are upregulated or downregulated? So those are very interesting questions.
This is quite fascinating because we also talked before we went on the show today that the Italians identified chlamydia, an infectious organism, which is associated with a type of lymphoma there as well. And I guess coming back to the potential viral association, has anyone, the Peruvians or anyone else, tried to treat the virus perhaps with an anti-EBV drug and to see what kind of response they got?
Well, that's part of what we are trying to help them, you know, to develop those treatments. But there is another type of T-cell lymphoma called adult T-cell leukemia lymphoma that is associated with HTLV-1. That is sort of, you know, HIV was called HTLV-3. So HTLV-1 was the first virus that was demonstrated to be associated with lymphoma leukemia. The group in Miami used actually an antiviral drug, AZT, in combination with interferon, to treat these patients in which there was a virus associated with the type of lymphoma. And they saw that this treatment was better than using just the chemotherapy that we used to use in the past.
That's very exciting. Now, how old is that information?
It's all probably about, you know, 10 years old. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is a very aggressive type of lymphoma. So patients responded to this combination treatment. Their life was prolonged, but only it was a few months or a year. But this is because the disease is extremely aggressive.
Right. So there is some precedent there, though, that these may respond, at least in some cases, to antiviral therapy.
That's right. I mean, and that's an area that is under intense research these days.
Well, Linda, do you have so let's go back to your story, Linda. So you had the biopsy. Was the entire mass removed in the initial biopsy, or did you have to go back for more surgery?
No, it was not removed. They just took a small piece of it, and then he stitched up my tear duct.
Okay.
And then from there, I went to a local doctor in Titusville, and he put me on some chemotherapy, which I believe he collaborated with a Dr. Sotomayor.
Okay.
I had Dr. Richard Levine at Space Coast Cancer Center in Titusville, and I believe that they collaborated on my treatment.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to comment on the therapy in this particular patient?
So right. So we, you know, Moffitt Cancer Center, we have alliances with several doctors in the community in different areas in the state of Florida. And when they see, they are extremely capable to treat patients that are diagnosed with large cell lymphoma. It's common. They have the training. They can deliver the treatment. But when they see, in this case, Dr. Levine, see a case that was a patient that was an unusual presentation, so he liked to seek a second opinion. So that's the way that, you know, Linda was referred to us. And we confirmed the diagnosis of large cell lymphoma. And I mean, I want to emphasize that diagnosis of lymphoma is extremely important. So patients that are diagnosed with lymphoma, so when they come to us, we need to be 100% sure that what type of lymphoma they have. Mm-hmm. There are 50 different types. So when they are coming to us, it's not like, okay, 99% this is going to be this lymphoma. It has to be 100% because that's going to direct our therapy.
And can you tell what type of lymphoma from a routine biopsy, or do you need special fresh tissue to make complete diagnostic, ascertain what type of lymphoma, what type of B-cell lymphoma this is?
So since the most common presentation is an enlarged lymph node, for initial diagnosis, we prefer to remove the whole lymph node. And so usually if the lymph node is larger than 1.5 centimeters, so it's something that it's a lymph node that we can remove and do all the studies that needs to be done to be 100% sure about the diagnosis. Sometimes, you know, like in Linda's case, so this is a small area. So all that we are going to have is a very small amount of tissue to do the studies. That's another reason why Dr. Levine decided to send the tissue to be reviewed here at Moffitt Cancer Center. And we agree with the diagnosis of large cell lymphoma. Mm-hmm. So as a rule, we prefer to have the whole lymph node to be excised. In some situations, we don't have that luxury, so we have to do all the studies with whatever is available to us.
In this case, though, did you need more tissue?
No, in this case, no. I mean, it was a very good tissue, and we make the confirmed the diagnosis of large cell lymphoma. And then, you know, I discussed with Linda and with Dr. Levine, and the treatment that we use was a treatment that is a standard treatment. It's called chemotherapy with CHOP in combination with monoclonal antibody called rituximab.
Okay.
And she received treatment locally with Dr. Levine. And then after that, she needed radiation treatment that I think she received at Moffitt.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Linda, how did that work for you?
Fabulous. I can see well. Everything is good. And I've been in remission now for almost 3 years, and my sight is very good. I just had my eyes checked, and I have 20/20 vision in my left eye where I had
Great.
All the radiation.
Excellent.
Which is amazing to me because I didn't have that before I had the treatment. So.
Right. And, of course, when the radiation is delivered, you have the eye protected, correct?
Yes.
They have a shield to protect it to minimize any kind of effect on the...
Oh, I had a mask, and Eduardo would have to tell you all that I had, but I had these little diodes on my mask that they made for me, and they directed, I think it was called directed therapy, so I had just the radiation where these little diodes were on my mask, and I didn't have any bad results from that at all. It was fantastic. I'm very happy with the result.
Well, I have to say that and congratulate you to be attentive to your body. And I don't know the size. I don't have a feeling of the size of this bump when you sought treatment. But obviously, you were attuned to something that wasn't right. You recognized that this was not your situation. That there's a change in how your body looked or felt, and you went ahead
exactly.
and acted on that.
Exactly.
And
I think that's a female thing, I must say. We seem to pay a lot of attention to that.
Let's focus on females. And even for guys, we rely upon ladies to help us.
That's true.
So now, had you had any other, in retrospect, had you been losing weight prior to that observation of this mass? Had you felt fatigued or other we call constitutional symptoms? Or had you really felt normal up until seeing this or feeling this mass?
No, not at all. You know, I didn't really have any anything other than the fact that, you know, I had that bump in the corner of my eye, which, like I said, I thought it was a sty. But the after effects, I really haven't had any, and I'm back to a normal life. Mm-hmm. I never was lethargic, as Dr. Sotomayor can a test. I have a tremendous amount of energy, whether I'm getting radiation and chemo or I'm in remission. That's just my makeup, you know. I have a lot of energy,
and
I didn't really have any bad side effects at all.
Eduardo, is the fact that she had no we call constitutional symptoms, malaise, lethargy, fatigue, weight loss, is the fact that she didn't have any of that portend a better diagnosis, generally speaking, in a patient?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So patients, when we see patients that present with fever, night sweats, weight loss, or more than 10 pounds in 6 months, or the patient is coming to see us in a wheelchair, so those that is telling us just in front of us, even without looking at the blood test, that lymphoma is more aggressive.
Mm-hmm. And by more aggressive, that means there's probably some micrometastases at least going on, some systemic involvement.
Right. So it's very likely that the patient that is coming to us in that situation that I described will have a stage 4 a lymphoma, so which means bone marrow involvement, maybe bone involvement, liver involvement. And so that's the type of patients that we need to admit to the hospital right away to start the treatment. The sooner, the better.
Okay.
But again, that's very few of the patients. Most of the patients will come with feeling perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, so how can I have this lymphoma if I'm feeling fine? So that's the common situation that we face.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Linda, do you have any other comments or questions to make at this time while we have the expert here with us?
Well, no, I don't have any questions because I speak to Dr. Sotomayor often.
Okay.
And I'm so dedicated to help him in, you know, fundraising for lymphoma. And I'm the captain of his Miles for Moffitt team.
How about that? Team. All right.
So we're going to win. We're going to be number one again.
That's great.
And I'm just dedicated to help him because in my mind, he truly saved my life.
Yeah.
And
so, Steve, you mentioned
him back.
Side effects of the treatment that Linda received. And one of the side effects was now she has more energy, and she's strongly committed to lymphoma research. I mean, that's
right.
A side effect of the treatment.
That's a wonderful story, Linda. And I'd like to thank you again on your birthday for joining
sure.
us. and
you're very welcome
to share your story with the listeners here on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. And we hope that you too can find time this coming Saturday to join us for our fifth annual Focus on Females Women's Health Symposium here in Tampa at the Tampa Convention Center. It's a free event, and I know you'd love it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great day.
Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Let's take a quick break. Be right back with more on lymphoma on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Be right back.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Hi, this is Daniel Carr of Tampa with my younger brother Adam.
We won a video contest sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management for Severe Weather Awareness Week.
Our video was about what to do if you get caught in a rip current.
If you do get caught in one, don't try and swim against it.
Swim to the side to get away from the current and then swim back to the beach.
Remember, swim to the side. It could save your life.
This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you. Your host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. Dr. Maskin manages these dry eye disorders using innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has been successfully managing difficult dry eye cases for over 20 years and is board-certified, fellowship-trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and American Academy of Ophthalmology. He's been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2009 and as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America. We hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please, visit drmaskin.com, and if you have not found relief for your painful red dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back to Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Today's topic, lymphoma. Guest expert, Dr. Eduardo Sotomayor from Moffitt Cancer Center here in Tampa. Eduardo, what's the incidence in the United States of lymphoma? How frequently do we see this?
Well, that's a very good question. So in 2009, we expect approximately 50,000 new cases of lymphoma being diagnosed in the United States. And this is a significant increase if we compare with the 70s, in which we have approximately 20, 25,000 new cases of lymphomas. So people ask, so why are we seeing more lymphomas now? And there are several factors. So one, for example, is that, so we have, you know, novel tools. We have CAT scan, PET scan, that we can, you know, diagnose lymphoma in patients that are coming for other reasons to see us.
So we're picking it up earlier in their, in their natural course.
But okay. Also, now we have diseases that affect the immune system. So HIV is one of them. So there is definitely an increased incidence of lymphomas in patients with HIV, patients with chronic viral infections. So we are seeing association of lymphoma with those, perhaps exposure to radiation or chemicals. But I think that among all the lymphoma doctors, we agree that there is an increase in the a real increase in the mm-hmm. incidence of mm-hmm. lymphomas in the United States.
Now, just to mention a couple of things, HIV, the most common lymphoma, is that Kaposi's or mycosis fungoides?
No, it's the most one of the most common is a large cell lymphoma. So when we see a patient with HIV that is developing lymphoma, so we are almost certain that the patient will have large cell lymphoma.
Okay.
Few patients can have Burkitt's lymphoma. That, again, is a very aggressive type of lymphoma.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the chronic viral infection associated, that's usually the EBV?
EBV, HTLV-1 infection in some areas. But also now, I mean, now that we are talking about infectious diseases and lymphomas, so the strongest association of an infection with lymphoma is what we know as a gastric lymphoma. So the lymphoma of the stomach that is associated with Helicobacter pylori.
Okay.
Okay. And I mean, this is the only type of lymphoma that we can cure with antibiotics. So when I give talks to my patients and they said, oh, so can you cure gastric lymphoma with antibiotics? Yes. I mean, there is significant percent of the patients that come to us diagnosed with gastric lymphoma, biopsy proven. We treat them with 2 weeks of antibiotics and then the lymphoma is completely gone.
So that's amazing. But I have to say, I've also seen in the, I think, ophthalmic literature a mention of lymphoma responding to antibiotics, I think to H. pylori as well as chlamydia we talked about before.
That's correct.
But it's interesting. You say gastric lymphoma. Is there a specific, I mean, can gastric lymphoma present on the ocular surface?
No. This is a...
Okay. It's called gastric by location.
Okay, yeah. Okay. The type of lymphoma is called marginal zone lymphoma.
Okay.
So it's a different type of lymphoma. But marginal zone lymphoma can present also in the eyes, in the thyroid, especially patients that have, you know, autoimmune thyroiditis.
Okay. Once again, call now with your questions on lymphoma. We're at 289-1860, or toll-free for those of you that are streaming online, 877-969-8600. So clearly, lymphoma can be cured.
Correct. Although, you know, I would like to say that we can cure 100% of lymphomas, but, you know, there are centers doing a lot of research to try to reach to that goal. I would say that there is a significant number of lymphomas that we can cure. And what is going to dictate whether the patient is going to be cured or not is what type of lymphoma we are dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Large cell lymphoma is a type of lymphoma that we can cure probably in 50% of the patients. And in those patients that are not cured with the chemotherapy that we have plus monoclonal antibodies, they can still be rescued or cured if they go and receive a stem cell transplant.
Okay, okay. And so there's stages of therapies,
correct,
so to speak, a continuum. And as we mentioned on break, you mentioned that sometimes a low-grade lymphoma with extensive bone marrow involvement actually has a favorable diagnosis.
Right, so it's
prognosis.
Yeah. So, you know, I will tell you a situation in which a patient came to me. He was 75 years old, and he was diagnosed with a low-grade lymphoma. He was perfectly fine. The bone marrow shows that he has disease in the bone marrow. So by definition, that is a stage 4. So he was thinking about a stage 4 and comparing himself with patients with, let's say, lung cancer or breast cancer. You know, when you hear that
stage four,
lung cancer is very bad.
Mm-hmm.
For this particular type of lymphoma, actually, that's what we expect. So we know in low-grade lymphoma, 60 to 70% of the patients are going to have bone marrow involvement because that's where the diseases start to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And the patient is perfectly fine. And then he was shocked when I told him, You have a stage four, we know that, but since you are doing fine, we are going to do what is called watchful waiting. You don't need to be treated. And the patient was in shock.
Yeah.
But that's, again, it depends on the type of lymphoma.
The behavior.
Right. Low-grade lymphomas, yeah. Stage four, okay, we can do watchful waiting.
Even though it's extensive involving the bone marrow, you can still watch it because it's a low-grade actor, so to speak.
Correct. Aggressive lymphomas with bone marrow involvement, you need to treat.
Different story. Different story there. Can you tell sometimes if you have a lymph node involvement and bone marrow involvement, can you tell whether it arose from the bone marrow or the lymph node?
So that's a very interesting question. So for follicular lymphoma, probably we can say that most of the time it's coming from the bone marrow. So there is a subtype of lymphoma, very aggressive, and actually at Moffitt we have a special interest in this type of lymphoma called mantle cell lymphoma. Mm-hmm. Very aggressive, unfortunately incurable.
Incurable
at this mm-hmm. point. Mm-hmm. So we can treat, we can control the disease, and so this is a disease that can present in the colon, in the stomach, can present in the rectum, can present in the lymph nodes, and now we are having a better idea that this disease seems to start also in the bone marrow. Mm. So there are, for years, we were debating whether the disease was starting in the lymph nodes, in the bone marrow, but now there is more and more evidence that this type of lymphoma, mantle cell lymphoma, starts in the bone marrow. Mm-hmm. So large cell lymphoma, that the case of Linda, is different. So those large cell lymphoma, usually they start in the lymph nodes.
Okay. All right, and what is new in the treatment of lymphomas?
Okay, there are very new treatments for lymphomas. I have to say that the treatment of lymphoma changed completely approximately 13 years ago when we started to use a monoclonal antibody. A monoclonal antibody is a protein that is produced in animals, and then there is a process in which we humanize, or at least humanize 50% of these protein produced in animals, and then we use to treat patients with lymphomas. And it's fair to say in 2010 that because of this treatment called monoclonal antibodies, patients with lymphoma are living longer. Mm-hmm. Or putting a different way, less patients with lymphoma are dying because of this new treatment. So, but that's 13 years ago. So these days we are looking for the second and third generation of monoclonal antibodies. Recently, the FDA approved a second monoclonal antibody for the treatment of one particular type of lymphomas. So that's in terms of monoclonal antibodies. Mm. So our group is working with vaccines, so trying to educate the patient's immune system to fight lymphoma cells. Mm-hmm. And so we were part of a group that developed a vaccine for patients with low-grade lymphomas. Mm-hmm. So we just finished our clinical trial using a vaccine for patients with mantle cell lymphoma. There is a disease that we have a particular interest. But in addition to that, so now we have the tools to take the malignant mm-hmm. lymphocyte mm-hmm. and look inside. Mm-hmm. That is called, okay, let's look the genes of this particular mm-hmm. tumor.
Let me say, we only have a little while left. So you can basically, in patients with lymphoma, their immune system is sufficient enough that you can use that with vaccine therapy and attack that lymphoma.
That's correct. So the idea is to harness the patient's immune system to attack the lymphoma.
Right. So interestingly, because lymphoma, of course, involves immune cells, but there's enough residual potent immune system to use it against the part of their immune system that's not functioning properly.
Right. For B-cell lymphomas, so you can harness the T lymphocytes to attack.
Amazing.
For T-cell lymphomas, remains to be seen, because, I mean, the T lymphocytes are the ones that are very important in immune response.
But I know you'll get there. Okay, we're at the end of our hour. I'd like to thank my good friend, Dr. Eduardo Sotomayor, for joining us today. And for each one of you listeners out there, again, now the time. Register and plan on joining us this Saturday at the Tampa Convention Center, the free 5th Annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium. Have a great, healthy week. And next Sunday, it's myeloma right here on the Radio Healthcare Clinic. Bye-bye.